we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm catching up with Jennifer Spillane, a Pensbury wife and mother who became heavily involved in her community during and due to the pandemic. As a reopen advocate within a highly Democrat area, Jen brings an important perspective on what it's like to fight tooth and nail against insurmountable odds. Welcome, Jen. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Josh. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored to be here. I love everything about Reopen Bucks, and I'm happy to share my story with you.
Fantastic. Looking forward to telling it. And here's the thing. I feel like you coming on is extremely timely because we're finally approaching the end here with the podcast. Only have a few episodes left. And I did a little analysis a couple weeks back where I went through and looked at, you know, where are the folks who have been on the podcast? Where are they from within the county? And I wanted to see kind of who's represented. We've had a few folks on from Pensbury, but it's very Central Bucks, Council Rock, and Penridge heavy. And I think that that reflects a lot of the momentum in Reopen Bucks in terms of what happened with schools. Mm-hmm. But there were all of these areas, like where you live in Pensbury, where there was just a massive fight going on for 2 years. And we haven't really, I don't think we've done a good enough job yet of telling the story of what it's like to be there. So, you know, with your background, you've done quite a bit there in Pensbury, kind of fighting from the grassroots. You ran for school board. You're recently wrapping up a run for state rep. Let's just start with, I guess, the dynamic of Pensbury and why it's so difficult. What do you make of that? What is it like to be, you know, first of all, you're a parent of kids, right, in the school system in Pensbury.
Right.
What's that like?
Yeah, so I have four kids. Two of them are still in Pensbury. Two of them are in high school outside of Pensbury. But they all went through Pensbury up through eighth grade. And I really had enough of watching the school board meetings on video and just completely frustrated and yelling at my computer. And I decided I can keep yelling at the computer, I can try to do something. And I really, when I jumped in, I was definitely a newbie. I didn't know the ins and outs and how it worked and what it was made of. And I really got a crash course in how that works. And Pensbury is divided into, the school district is three regions. So one region is Falls and Lower Makefield. One region is Falls and one region is Yardley. And my region was the combo. It was the Falls and Lower Makefield. And the dynamics of the school board currently and have been for a while is all nine members are Democrats. It has been like that for 8 years. And after this election last fall, we will go through 12 years of the school board being completely Democrat, not a single Republican conservative voice on that board. So that's a tough battle because it's very hard for parents who have differing opinions and want different things to really feel like they're being heard. And that was a big part of the reason why I stepped in, is that there was a lot of parents who were not happy with decisions that were being made on that school board during the pandemic. And then I felt like there needed to be some voices on there for to represent those parents. And definitely I was one of those and felt like that somebody needed to get up there and fight for them. The dynamics in terms of like political dynamics, Lower Makefield, Yardley, and Falls are very blue. They're very Democrat. I knew it would be a tough battle, but I really had hoped that that there were definitely enough parents that were upset that were ready to see some change on that school board because nothing had changed in so many years. So that definitely makes it hard. I don't know necessarily why it's so blue. The only thing that I can come up with is I believe our area is very popular in the transplants that come from New York and New Jersey. And I think that that is a big part of it. I did meet a lot of people knocking on doors that explained that they moved here from New York and New Jersey, you know, for tax reasons or whatever the case may be. And I mean, Bucks County, it's a beautiful place. It's attractive. It's not far from Philly or New York if you needed to commute there. So it's an hour from the beach. So I get it. I get why people come, but unfortunately they bring their politics with them and really have, I believe, have really taken over. And I think it's going to be a very hard battle in the future for a Republican conservative school board candidate to make any headway on that school board and to even win a seat. So that's kind of where I, from my perspective and what I've learned, where the demographics are in our area. It's definitely, definitely a tough battle.
Yeah. When you talk about it, you know, being so blue, and I think if you look at the registration numbers, it's pretty much in that pile of like insurmountable. It's extremely hard for anyone on the Republican side of the ticket to win there. I'm curious about your experience going and door knocking and speaking to so many people at different events, because I mean, let me put it this way. Once schools are allowed to go normal, which happened earlier this year in 2022, mm-hmm. pretty much everybody goes back to normal. There's like a very small subset of extremely liberal Team Apocalypse people who still have their kid wear masks or they're still upset. But yep. most everybody just kind of goes back to normal life. And so what I'm trying to understand about areas like, you know, Pensbury and let's say New Hope and maybe Bristol is another similar example is, you know, as you're talking to these people, and this is your whole campaign was pretty much all of 2021, right? So yep. That's like the height of the pandemic or yep. at least people's awareness of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. While you're talking to them, is it that, you know, especially on the Democrat side, people are okay with or at least amenable to normalcy? Because they rush right back to it once it's quote unquote allowed. But for whatever reasons, when it comes to the politics, there's just this tribal element that people simply will not vote against their tribe. They won't break ranks, even mm-hmm. if they're, you know, kind of annoyed with this or they would rather just their kids mm-hmm. have normal life. They're just going to keep voting Democrat because that's their tribe. Like, is there an element of that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I definitely met, many people who felt that way, who would absolutely never, ever vote for a Republican or a conservative, no matter what, even if they agreed with them, they would not consider it. You know, in the last few years, it's I think there was always people who disagreed with the other side or whatnot, even in their own families, even in married couples. But I think it was a way that it was okay. It was acceptable. And in yeah. the last few years, it has become extremely, extremely divisive. And this narrative has been pushed. And I believe it's been pushed a lot by the mainstream media that we've seen these last few years, that, you know, conservatives are evil. They're racist. They're extremists. They've really drawn this line that has pushed, anybody who has conservative thoughts is just, you know, a bad person, and there's no discussing it with them. And I met, you know, door knocking. I met many people. I had doors slammed in my face as soon as they asked me if I was a Republican or conservative. Doors were slammed in my face. I'll never vote for you. That happened. And then sometimes there would be people who would argue with me and want to have a discussion and just kind of point out where they thought they knew more and where I was wrong and they were right. It's very much a black and white, right or wrong kind of mentality. And there seems to be no in between anymore. And that's not working. We need to figure out how to come back to, okay, well, you know, for example, nobody can be happy right now that they're paying over $5 for gas. To me, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat right now. Like that's an issue that we should be figuring out together. And I believe that there are more and more of those issues that are coming to light that we should be able to figure out together. So I don't necessarily know that the solution, I mean, but I definitely would see that that is a problem, and it is definitely prominent in Pennsbury for sure.
Yeah. And like you said, it feels to me for sure like it's getting worse. It's kind of come to a fever pitch the last few years, and it's continuing to get worse, even in the shadow of COVID. As COVID kind of goes away and a lot of things, school districts, whatever, just go back to normal, you're just seeing everybody transition to the next thing that they can be pissed off at each other about.
Yes. Yes. I agree. It's whatever the next new thing is that comes to light. They focus on that. They put all of their energy and everything into it. And then, you know, that goes away and they move on to the next thing. But it's almost like people are thriving or are looking for things to actually be mad about at every turn. And I don't want to live like that. I don't want my children to live like that. That's not a healthy way to go. So we definitely need to figure out how we can make that work better. And it is, like you said, it's definitely hard in Pennsbury. They're definitely very very focused and will not lean the other way. The interesting thing is in school board, I door knocked a lot in Falls Township, which is predominantly a blue area. Their unions, their great grandparents were in the union. So they're in the union. They just kind of, that mentality just literally, it's almost like hereditary. And when I would knock on the doors, I would start having conversations about issues that we were having with the school board, and they would nod their head and they would agree. And they're like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we need to fix that. Yeah, I agree with you. And I said, you understand that you're agreeing with everything that I said, and you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican. And they'd be like, oh yeah. Oh, okay. But they're like, but I'm going to vote for you because I want to see these things changed. So it does exist. But it's very hard to go knock on every single person's door and have a 30 plus minute conversation to try to convince them and change their mind. That's a very hard thing to do. Probably would be successful if you were able to do that. But I did find more success in Falls Township than I did in other areas. And they seemed to really be kind of turning and understanding and wanting to see change. And I do think that they in Pennsbury they were definitely a group that did not feel very well represented on that school board. And I think they feel forgotten a lot. So I think they were happy to have somebody who really wanted to go in there and fight for them a lot. So that was the one area where I did see a slight change, but not a lot. So,
well, if we dive into that a little bit, I think that there's a really important, it's like a silver lining, honestly, that's in there, which is from a countywide perspective. And now we're getting into, you know, let's look at the Bucks County GOP and the benefit to the whole county from campaigns like yours is you were up against really insurmountable odds. You fought tooth and nail. Came up short because of the demographics in that specific area. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and look at, okay, what incremental difference did you make? Like, let's say it was others who, you know, ran a less energetic campaign. What's that incremental increase in people you brought out to say, you know what, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and vote for the Republican side of the ticket, because you went through those 30-minute conversations however mm-hmm. many times you could. I think when I look at the countywide effect of what happened in 2021, you know, Republicans swept the row offices, which was huge because we went from basically only having the district attorney, 1 out of 9, to now having 5 out of 9, which is a majority of row offices. Right. So that makes a huge difference towards, you know, the 2023 commissioner's race and everything else. It's a massive thing. But some of those races for row offices countywide were really only separated by like a couple thousand or a few thousand votes. Yeah. So you look at the fact that these school board races in the very, very hard areas like Pennsbury, New Hope, Bristol, they had folks really trying and pushing hard who did shift things just enough that, to me, when I look at that, I think that's what made the difference from a countywide perspective. I'm curious for your thoughts.
I agree. I believe that when you look at Pennsbury, and we were in a national spotlight. I mean, our school district was in the national spotlight many, many times during my year of campaigning. There was discussions about the things that were happening in Pensbury, and it never really got quite as bad as Loudoun County, but we were one of those districts that was in there because parents were being shut out. They were being kicked out of meetings. They were being yelled at. Videos were being deleted. And so those things were definitely coming to light, and more parents were hearing about this, and they were watching this, and they were witnessing it going to school board meetings. I mean, there was turnout at Pensbury school board meetings like people have never seen before. Hundreds and hundreds of people were coming to see what was going to happen and what decisions were going to be made. The meeting where they decided to put masks back on the kids was just, it was intense. It was very intense. And I believe that those parents who had never paid attention before, I mean, we saw this on a national level. It definitely was a national thing. It was a statewide thing. And it was a county thing for us as well, that parents were watching this and they were fed up and they were paying more attention to school boards and what the decisions were being made and what they were doing than they probably ever have. And I believe that a lot of that turnout in the county was because of school board races. I believe that they were truly coming out. I mean, there were people who've never voted in a school board election ever who came to vote. And once you get them in that building to vote, they're going to fill out the other circles as well. So I believe that was definitely a huge push and definitely helped to make a difference in the county with a lot of those races, for sure.
Yeah. And then it would wind up being, what, probably a couple months after the school board campaign when you decided to fire up a campaign for state rep. Is that right? What's the mm-hmm. timeline on that like?
Yeah. So I took a couple weeks, a little breather. I have to admit it wasn't super long. I was pretty disappointed that not a single one of us won a seat on that school board. I mean, we worked really, really hard, and I really thought that we had a really good fighting chance of getting some of us on that school board. And I met so many people that I wanted to help during that race that I said, you know, I can't stop yet. I can't give up. I have to figure out a way that I can help. And I decided I wanted to start and research and start a charter school, because I had talked to so many parents who were just so unhappy with Pensbury and just didn't know what other options they had. And that had been part of discussions at times. And I did the research to find out that when you submit a proposal to start a charter school, do you know who approves it?
Yeah, the school district.
The school board. Mm-hmm. The school board where you want to start a charter school gets to approve if they are going to approve competition for their own school district. So to me, that was the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. And I said, well, how can I fix this? And she said, well, you could go to your state rep and see if they'll help you and fight for you to get this. And I said, well, that's not going to work either. I mean, Perry Warren is not going to help me. He's been completely quiet during all of this. So I decided that the best way that I could continue to fight for my community and help, and especially in the education realm, was to become the state rep so that I could go in and try to fight to get that process changed so that we could get school choice, you know, as a predominant option in our area, which there's a little bit of school choice, but right now vouchers and things only affect about 4% of the population, and it's very much focused on high risk, low income. And I really want to have an option where there is a bricks and mortar school that is a academically challenging, great school with great teachers, great administration, and it is a true option. And I believe that if we were able to do that and make that an option for Pensbury, that Pensbury would also have to raise the bar. They would also have to do better. And they would also have to fight harder to do a better job for those students and those parents if they wanted to keep those students in their school district. And so that was the reason that that I really jumped in and decided to run for state rep. And then, of course, As we know, so many other issues have come into play and that are extremely important that are part of what would be a state rep's job. So education was my big passion and why I did it. But there are also a lot of other issues that needed to be focused on and we needed to work on. So
then what happens from there? I mean, my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, was you decided you were going to do this and announced and we're already kind of on your way when Bucks GOP decides, okay, we're going to go talk to this other guy and bring him in, who's Bernie Sauer. Now, yeah. I want to say at the outset, I've talked to him a little bit recently from this. I certainly don't know him nearly as well as I know you, but Bernie seems like a great guy. He would eventually win the nomination in the primary here. But the way that that happened, I still don't fully understand. And I got to be honest with you, when I look at something like that, it makes me curious if maybe Bucks GOP did that after you were already up and running because they just don't want Reopen Bucks people as their nominees. Does that potentially make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it could. I don't understand. I don't know that Bucks GOP has a distaste for Reopen Bucks. I mean, I would think, and most people that I talk to that are definitely and have been heavily involved in Bucks GOP for much longer than I had been, you know, the reasons that you started the group are reasons that Republicans and conservatives align with. You know, most people that are Republican conservatives did not want masks on our kids. They wanted in person in school. They did not want mandates of, you know, vaccine mandates of any kind. So all of those things, I believe, are still strongly conservative Republican views. I believe that the GOP would say that they agree with all of those things as well. So I don't know if that's the case as much. So I announced, and I'm sure you know, many people know that the maps, the census came out and the maps were being reconfigured. And it took a very long time. It went to court. People were not happy with the way the maps were. Many areas and districts in Pennsylvania kind of got redistricted in a way that is definitely not favorable for Republicans. But we actually got lucky that District 31, which consists of Yardley, Lower Makefield, Newtown, Newtown Township, and Upper Makefield, that's what it is now. It used to include a section of Morrisville, and that's what changed in our map and is no longer part of District 31. And by adding Upper Makefield is quite a bit more balanced. It doesn't lean so much one way like Lower Makefield does. So that was helpful to us. And eliminating Morrisville was also helpful for District 31. And I have had quite a few conversations with Bernie since the election. And we agree on a lot of things. We both are dedicated, strong candidates. Our passions don't necessarily align, but I'm, you know, passionate about the education issues, and he's passionate about small businesses, and he works with the police officers a lot. So he said that he decided to run so late because he was really waiting for those final maps to come out. And that really made a big difference, because he said if Morrisville had stayed in those maps and the courts had ruled differently, he would not have run for office and run against me. I believe, in my opinion, that it could have been handled differently. And I believe that from a higher end, the countywide Bucks GOP, I would have liked to have seen it be something where, hey, there's a bunch of great candidates. Because there's also Matt McCullough, who's running against Steve Sanicero for Senate. And there was me, and there was Bernie, and there were some really great candidates. And I would have liked to have seen leadership have a conversation with these candidates much earlier on and said, hey, we've got these candidates. You guys are all stepping up, and we appreciate that. Let's find the best place for each one of you. And I believe that that would have been the most the best way to handle the situation and the best strategy, because we would have met each other, had a conversation, found out what our strengths were, what our weaknesses were, where we all fit best. And instead of pinning two Republicans against each other for the same seat, we would have been able to place Republicans in positions, have them fight, have them do their own campaigns, and put more Republicans in more spots. And I would have liked to have done that and had that conversation. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. That's really how it came down. I mean, Bernie and I both did everything that we were supposed to. You know, we announced, we interviewed, we screened, we jumped through the hoops for the endorsements. And I personally believe that there's a time and a place for endorsements. And I think there's also situations where endorsements aren't needed. And I think open primaries are extremely important and would be valuable in this particular case, because it would have given the power to the voters, and the voters would pick the best candidate for the situation. So that's how I would have liked to have seen it worked out. But you know, I am 100% behind Bernie, and I believe that we all need to get behind him. You know, people who supported me, I hope that they will get behind him and help him and beat the incumbent Perry Warren come fall. That's, to me, that's the most important thing that we have to focus on right now.
Yeah, it would be a huge pickup. And in a red wave year, it's like it's finally maybe a possibility. So there's something in there that I think is just potentially another silver lining in this. I always try to like find the silver linings in these tough situations where there's obviously this big, broad conversation about endorsements in Bucks County, specifically from mm-hmm. the GOP side. The Democrats do it almost the exact same way. Mm-hmm. The parties are very close to mirror images of each other here, I think, as opposed to in other counties, it might not be like that. But, you know, we can compare your race, which was a contested primary for a state legislature position, to up in Lehigh County. There was Jared Coleman, who we just had on a few episodes ago. He basically wound up unseating a 30-year Harrisburg veteran, Pat Brown, up there. And when I look at the two situations, I'm extremely struck by the fact that Lehigh County did not endorse because neither of them could meet the threshold that they set. So in Lehigh County, there was no endorsement. There were no, you know, sample ballots. The party wasn't strongly supporting Pat Brown. And you see that Jared Coleman, who's coming in as the more conservative, very, very much more focused on COVID and schools mm-hmm. and making kids' lives normal again, he absolutely crushed him up in Lehigh mm-hmm. County. Now, a part of that district was redistricted to include Upper Bucks. And here in Upper Bucks, where people don't know as much because we're not in Lehigh County, we don't know those two characters, there was an endorsement from Bucks GOP, and Pat Brown basically crushed him because he had secured the endorsement as the 30-year, you know, incumbent. Yeah. So they actually wound up, it was an extremely close race. It was separated by only like a couple dozen votes, but Jared came out on top. But it really shows you right there, just right across the county line from Lehigh to Bucks, mm-hmm. massive, massive difference. And similarly in your case, you know, obviously endorsement went to Bernie and that had to make a huge effect. So I think it does kind of force a broader conversation about, you know, when should we endorse? I just feel like looking at those two races, you know, you and Jared Coleman, I can't help but believe that at least for the primaries, this isn't really democracy. This is oligarchy. There are a small group of people
yep.
who are picking. And in a lot of cases, like they have reasons, they have strategies. Mm-hmm. And I can get behind a lot of it. I think these are smart people. They're good people. They're conservatives. I'm not like bashing them. I'm just saying, yo, that's straight up oligarchy, right? That's not the people choosing. When they get out of the way, like they did in Lehigh, you saw that the people chose according to what they want without any undue influence. So where do you think that goes from here? Do you think that there's going to be a trend in Bucks County towards, you know, moving away from endorsements or not?
From what I understand, I've lived in Bucks County for 15 years, and in the GOP, endorsements have always been a way of life. They feel that they need to tell voters and inform the voters who the candidates are that they support and that they believe. And their words, you know, they believe that they're supporting the, you know, the winnable candidate. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the problem is if we want to, so obviously the sample ballot is extremely powerful. It's very hard to beat. I just went through it. So it's extremely hard to beat. I came very close as an unendorsed candidate, but I worked really hard to get that close. And I think if we don't want to have sample ballots, and we want to move away from that, that it is going to have to be a complete change in mindset from the top down. And what I mean by that is that we will need to get people in there who are ready to see and actually make some changes in the process and how it's done. And I believe that I also think it's not a fair position to put committee people in. You know, there are committee people who support me and believe in what I was doing and found themselves in a very difficult position that they felt that they really were supposed to push and help the endorsed candidate. And I think that that's really the mentality that happens often, and that's been around for a very long time. And I think it will boil down to educating voters, which is going to take a lot of work. It is going to probably need to change in the process of how it's done and what the GOP does to educate the voters about the candidates. I think we need to do better about that. You know, these are their strengths. These are their weaknesses. This is what they believe in. This is what they would fight for. They would, you know, they would support that bill. They wouldn't support that bill. And you really, it's going to have to be something that we work hard to get the voters to understand the candidates better. And I don't think that we do a great job of that right now. I know for a fact, long ago, and I still know people to this day that really do not pay that much attention, especially in a primary, and will go in, take that sample ballot and vote exactly what it says. Literally, probably not even hearing some of the people's names on that ballot. They just trust, and they blindly trust, unfortunately. And I believe that it is such an important thing to have the power to vote in this country. I mean, we have to take it seriously. We have to show up. You cannot take it for granted. You can't say, oh, well, I'm just going to, whoever they pick for the primary, that's who I'll vote for in November. You can't do that. You have to show up. You have to vote. And you really do need to pay attention. And I believe that the only way that we'll get rid of that sample ballot is if we really, truly work very hard to educate voters about the process and what's going on, and hopefully make some changes in that process, because I believe that there are great candidates that don't always appear on that sample ballot and kind of get overlooked. But, you know, I also came from the position where I ran for school board and I was the endorsed candidate. So I get it from both ends. And I believe that there's a time and place for that. And sometimes it's valuable and it works. And then in other places, it's probably not the best solution. So, yeah. I would like to see that change for sure.
I go back to the Lehigh example with Jared Coleman, yeah. And my understanding is there the threshold is 2/3 of the executive committee people need to support a candidate in order to be endorsed. And I'm aware that in Bucks County, you know, if there were, say, a 2/3 threshold, that might not have affected endorsements going back for, you know, several years or during COVID. But what I think that does in the case of Lehigh is it kind of puts it into people's mind that, first of all, there is like an actual barrier. You have to achieve 2/3 rather than just 50% plus one. So it kind of adds a sense of fairness to it, especially to challengers like Jarrett. You know, Jarrett was able to secure 1/3 of his party and kept Pat Brown from getting endorsement. But at the same time, I think it has another effect, which says if a candidate does get to 2/3, then you'll quickly have people rally around them, because we're all saying, you know, he got to a certain higher threshold. So, you know, we'll figure out how to have those conversations that you alluded to earlier. How do we put people in the right places, but rally behind someone? Whereas in Bucks, it feels like it's just become this kind of free for all. A lot of people are upset with it. So there's more pushing on both sides, and the net result is just more animosity. And so that's kind of the question I want to leave you with, maybe, is, you know, first of all, this whole sample ballot situation, I would imagine it's fair to say, you know, you're probably against it just because of the effect to you. But in a broader sense, you know, where are you at with someone who you're somebody who has a lot of energy? Obviously, you've tried it really hard to make a difference in an extremely tough area. That should be, in my opinion, that should be considered heroic. You should be one of the faces of the party and really put out there, not just from the perspective of your policies and your stances, but your willingness to engage. You alluded to something in there with Bernie, which I don't want to knock on Bernie because I'm also fully ready to support him, but he was waiting for those lines to come out and you didn't. I think that that really says a lot about your character and willingness to get in there and scrap. So when you look at where things are today, you know, you essentially like lost to the sample ballot.
Yep.
Are you, what's the term I'm looking for? Do you feel ostracized and distanced from your own party? Or, because a big reason I'm asking it that way is you've said a lot of things that I feel like are the right things, you know, people have to say when you come up short. You obviously have a talent for this stuff. And I would just hate to see in Bucks County, long after Reopen Bucks is gone, that there's just endless continuation of this battle. Like every 2 years, the party just has to do this. And we never really get it solved to where people can finally come together, figure out how everybody uses their energy in whatever way that works for a greater good. You know what I mean? So where do you find yourself right now after all of it?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say that I feel ostracized. I had between school board and this state rep campaign, I have found a tremendous group of people in my community who support me. And I've had people come to me and say, you know, what are you running for next? I'm going to work for you. What do you want to, what are we doing? I'm going to fight for you. And I appreciate that. And it is humbling and it is an amazing feeling. So I know in the community, I have people who support me. And then, you know, there were issues where there are committee people that I was very close to, during school board who, were very supportive of me and helped me, and then kind of went the other direction when I ran for state rep. And I was hurt by that. And there definitely were moments, during the campaign, where I felt, a little bit like an outsider and a little bit ostracized from the party, for those reasons, knowing that I had people that supported me, you know, just a few months ago. But I agree, you know, I go back to, I really believe that that's the mindset of the GOP that we need to change and that we need to work on from the top down. There are people who have been involved in the GOP for a very long time, and I don't want to see them go. They have a lot of experience. They know a lot about how things work in the process, and they're extremely valuable. But I think that we need to be open to bringing in new people and new ideas. And a lot of the people that I, you know, talked with and that supported me, I brought them in who have never really been that involved in a campaign and have never really been that involved in politics. And now they want to be involved and they want to make a difference. And I think those are the people that we need to work with and tap into and find their strengths and get them involved. Because I really do think that there's definitely some changes that we have to make so that we can win and that we can get good, strong conservative candidates in office. You know, one of the things that the Democrats do they're a machine. The Democrats are a machine. They will find their candidate, they will get behind them, and there is no questions. There's no fighting, from what I understand. That's it. And to be honest, I believe that's a big part of how they win a lot of times, is that's it. There's no infighting. They don't disagree and run different candidates against each other. They get behind that candidate and everybody gets behind that candidate and they fight for that candidate. And I believe that we need to do more of that. You know, I'm sad to say that we have to do something kind of like the Democrats do, but we do. In that way, we do. In our election process, we need to do better in that way. And putting a candidate up that we believe in, that we vetted, that we think is the strongest candidate for the job. And then we need to push them forward and let the voters, you know, decide who they think the best candidate is. And I think that they're definitely... there definitely needs to be some change, but I definitely think that there's parts of the GOP that are extremely valuable, and their knowledge and their experience, you know, we need to learn from. Yeah. So
what's next for you then? And we'll kind of end with that. I assume you're not, you know, when it comes to Pensbury and the school, you still have kids in the school. You're not going quietly into the night, right? You're still a reopen fighter down there. And
Yeah, I have to be honest. I definitely have taken a little bit of a break from the school board issues, especially when I was running for state rep. I have not been as heavily involved, and now we're in summer, so you know, things are a little bit quieter. But we, you know, there's definitely some issues in Pennsbury on the horizon that I'm going to pay attention to, and that I'm going to keep on top of. In terms of what's next for me, I'm not really sure. I definitely am passionate by doing this. I've learned in the last 2 years that this is something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy door knocking, which is funny. I enjoy meeting the people in the community and finding out about their story and what I can do to help. So I hope that there's a place for me somewhere down the road where I'm able to do that. Moving forward right now, my focus is going to be, you know, later in the summer, is to help Bernie Sauer beat Perry, get behind some of our other, you know, candidates that won their primaries and hopefully help them get in office and get some of these, you know, incumbents out and some of these Democrats out. And I will take all that energy and passion and work for them this fall.
Fantastic. Well, very glad to hear some of this. Your perspective is much appreciated. And again, I want to go back to just saying a huge thank you for having that kind of energy and that kind of spunk in a place like Pennsbury. I mean, we talked about it earlier from a countywide perspective. That certainly made a difference. This isn't wasted time. I hope you you recognize that. There's a lot of appreciation for everything you've done. So thanks for being a part of Reopen Bucks and coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you and all the admins for everything you guys have done for us as well. I appreciated the support and everything that I did, and I knew you guys were always had my back, and you helped so many people in our community. So thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate it. All right, Jen, we'll catch up with you later.
Okay, thank you.